Well, I enjoyed that message, brother. Amen. That was good. I like that kind of preaching. A lot of people don't like it. Even a lot of preachers don't like that kind of preaching, but I like it. That was good. You just hang in there. Look back 50 years after a while. I bet folks around here didn't think 48, 47 years ago you'd be sitting here. Well, it's 48, 47, 48. Yeah, I remember the little building. I've seen the store building, but anyway, it's wonderful to come and see what God's done. Have your Bibles for just a few moments. I'll try to stay within the length of time, but in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, reading verses 17 down through verse number 21. Let's bow our heads in just a word of prayer. Father, I'm thankful this morning for the opportunity that we have to just open the scripture. And our Father, to be able to say thank you for your blessings of this day. And Father, it's good to be in the Lord's house. It's good to be here this morning. Good to be able to be around Brother Ennis again. He's always been a blessing to us. And I pray, Father, you'll just continue to bless the work that is here. And Lord, we know this community has been changed because of Brother Ennis and his faithfulness here. And we know that he's been blessed, the people's been blessed, and this community, this town, has been blessed. And I pray, Father, you'll just continue your blessings upon this work here. And we'll thank you for all that's done in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 22 in verse number 17, the Bible says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the waters of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the word of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He that testifies these things, say, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. For just a few moments, I want to speak on the last three things that are mentioned here in the Bible. Now, of course, I know Dr. Seitler has had a little pamphlet book out on the last seven things. I believe Brother Robertson over at Temple, I believe that he had a pamphlet out also. But I'm not trying to preach what they preach, but I just want to mention the three last things that are mentioned here in these verses that I read this morning. And certainly we're looking in the last day. I believe that we're living in the last day. I believe that we're looking to the day of just before the coming of our Lord. And I believe that's, the next great event that's going to take place is the second return of our Lord. I want you to notice, first of all, here in verse number 17, the Bible says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come." And here we see the last invitation that is given in the Bible. You realize there's over 1,800 times the word come is mentioned in the Bible to just over and over again. There's the invitation that is given in the Bible. But one day, there's going to be the last invitation that's going to be given. And here, the Lord is letting us know. Of course, whenever we come to this part here in the Bible, it's done. We're gone. We're out of here. But God's given us some insight of what's going to be in the last day. But here he's saying, come. And, of course, there's many invitations that are given in the Bible. But I think of whenever God, after God had placed upon Noah's heart to build the ark, after a while, after he worked on that ark, and I get all excited sometimes, and get all excited whenever I go to preaching and get thinking about the things of God. But whenever you come to the seventh chapter of the book of Genesis, we find there in verse number 1 where the Lord says unto Noah, "Come thou in." In other words, I believe that God was giving Noah an opportunity, even after he had built an ark of which God had told him to build, and he had built it by the dimensions that God had told him to build it. Then God also, he gave him the opportunity. God says there in chapter 7 in verse number 1, God invited him to come into the ark. Now I believe that you find that this is probably the first invitation that's given in the Bible. And of course, I don't have to go into details today concerning the ark and the things that took place there, but of course we know that a lot of people like you are today. I believe that Noah preached. I believe that he invited people to come, but they just would not heed. They did not believe. They would not believe what he was preaching. And there's a lot of people today that does not believe what you're preaching. Amen. They just don't believe. And it's hard to sometimes to accept. But anyway, God invited Noah and he came in. I come to another invitation that I find in the book of Isaiah. Here we find in the book of Isaiah in chapter 1 in verse number 18. And of course, I believe that he's speaking to some very sinful people whenever he speaks here. And we come to chapter number 1, and in verse number 18, he says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be red like crimson, they can be white as snow." Now, I believe that he was speaking to an ungodly group of people. I believe that he was speaking to people, as this brother has preached about this morning, of all kind of ungodliness that was in their lives. And here he was saying to them, "Come, come." You know, a lot of people today say, "But God can't forgive me." God can forgive. If you'll just come and believe what the Word of God has to say. I'm glad that there's no sin that God will not forgive if they'll come. And I know whenever I was a young man back many, many years ago, I remember going with my pastor before I was ever surrendered to preach. I went with my pastor and out visiting. And I remember going to a home where this couple, this elderly couple, was there. And my pastor began to talk to them about being saved. And they said, "But we can't be. We've been married before." And I think it's better if a person don't have second marriages, but that sometimes that will happen. My wife and I will be married 62 years this year, Lord willing, and only by God's grace that we made those 62 years. But there's a lot of people that does not, are not able to do that. And this couple said, the preachers have told us we've got to go back. We've got to go back to our first. We've had children here, and we have to leave our family and go back. And I never will forget the confusion that was in that in those people's heart. And of course, my pastor was able to take the Word of God and show them that God would forgive them. And they trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they were saved and they became good members of the church. Of course, there are certain things they couldn't do in the church because of that. But my friend, they made good members of the church. And so I believe that we could say to whosoever will, whosoever will, let him come. I'm glad that God puts a whosoever will on it, and he'll save whosoever will that will come to him. In the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse number 28, he talks there, gives an invitation. He says, "You that are labor and heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest." And I believe this, he's speaking to the believer. And I believe here he is speaking to that preacher that's worked hard and he's become weary. And he says, "Come unto me, all ye you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the Sunday school teacher. And that's the deacon. That's the average person that's sitting in the church pew. That's the pastor that sometimes gets weary, that stands before you and tries to encourage your heart. Brother, he is there. And then the Lord says, come ye. And brother, I believe he means that. And we can see in the parable in Luke chapter number 14, and he says, come now, for all things are ready. And there's many wonderful invitations that are given here in the Bible. And we can see the parable of here in Luke. He says, come and take of the waters of life, the waters of life freely. And you come here to the Revelation where I just read in verse number 17. And he says, come. And the bride says, come. And he says, come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the waters of life freely. And I'm glad there's no cost on that. Brother, I'm glad there's no cost on salvation. The night that I got saved by God's grace, brother, I doubt if I had a dollar in my pocket. I grew up in the family, never went to church. But through the influence of my wife that's sitting there now, she grew up in a good fundamental Baptist church. And I thank God that she did. And I'm glad that she was able to lead me to a good independent Baptist church and where they preached the gospel. And brother, where they stood for those things that was right. But I never will forget. I went with her. I was a young boy, a young man, at 19 years of age. She and I got married when we were 16, amen. And we was afraid we was going to become old maids before. And we got married, so we got married at a young age. But God's blessed us. And she was able at the age of 19 to persuade me to go to church. Now, I don't recommend. I was pastoring years ago had a school, a Christian school. And one morning, the lady come running into my office and said, preacher, I need your help. I need you to help me. And I said, what for? What's the matter? You know how you'll go through those things. How can I help you? And she said, well, my daughter is graduating. And I said, yeah, I know that. And she said, she's graduating, but she's wanting to get married just a few weeks after that. And I want you to help me to let her know that she needs to wait a while. And I looked at her and didn't say nothing for just a moment. And I said, well, whenever she asks me how old I was when I got married, and I tell her I was 16, and what should I tell her? She said, preacher, don't tell her nothing. Amen. You just forget it. And you forget it, preacher. And I said, boy, I got out of that in a hurry, I'll tell you. But anyway, we can see, brother, I remember that Friday night whenever I went to that little country church, and it was a man by the name of Frank Duncan. He's dead. He died several years ago and moved out in California, up in the mountains of California. But he was living in Inman, South Carolina, and he was preaching throughout the Carolinas. And brother, he preached the message on hell. You don't hear many messages preached on hell. You don't hear many messages preached on the devil. You don't hear many messages preached on hell. But brother, they led me down in that little church at night. The men had left and went to the prayer rooms and set me and my wife right on that front pew. He preached on everything I'd ever done, ever thought about doing, and ever thought in the future I might do. And brother, that night he preached right straight to me. Amen. He got through after about an hour of preaching on hell, and I could just about smell the smoke, and he made it so real. And brother, I'd never been to church. Now you've got to realize, here I am, a young man, 19 years of age, never darted a church door, never went to Sunday school, and sitting right there on the front row, listening to this loud preacher and preaching a message on hell. Amen. And he scared the daylights out of me. And he got through. He said, anybody want to be saved? Don't want to go to hell? Raise your hand. Boy, I done that right quick. I didn't waste no time. They sung every song in the book. I stood there. He kept coming down there, putting his arm up around me, saying, young man, if you don't get saved, if you go out here and you die, you go to hell. He done told me that for over an hour. He done been telling me that for over an hour. And so I kept wanting to do this. You know, I mean, if you don't get away from here, I'm gonna let you have it. Back then, I was kind of rough like most 19 years old. I didn't have no sense much. But we went out of that church that night. I didn't go up. Boy, I was so mad. I could eat 10 penny nails, I reckon. I could have had to. But we went out and got in the car, and I told my wife, I said, if that's church, don't you never invite me to go back again. I said, that's it. Don't you never invite me. But that next day, I went to work, and God got a hold of me. You know, sometimes, fellas, I believe we try to pull them too quick. I believe we try to pick the apples off before they're ripe. And I tell you, God got a hold of me. And I went back in that day, that evening, told my wife, I said, get ready. We're going to go back down yonder tonight to church. She kind of laughed. So I didn't think he was going. I said, yeah, let's go down there. But let's go early enough to where we won't have to sit on that front row, where we can sit back there in the back, you know, like some of y'all like to do, like your church folks like to. And you know why they're getting back there? They don't want to get up here where the action's at. And they don't want to get up here where the excitement's at. And they don't want to get up here where their toes will get stepped on. But we went down there. And I wanted that preacher to hush so quick, so bad. And that night, whenever he got through, boy, I didn't waste no time. I went down and I knelt right along here. And the fellow by the name of Julius Bradshaw came, put his arm around me. He read to me from the Word of God. He read to me, if I would just, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he said, do you want to pray and ask the Lord to save you? I said, yeah. And he said, the Lord save you? I said, well, I sure hope he did. He said, let's do this again. And he didn't do it just once or twice. I don't know how many times. But after a while, it dawned on me that if I just simply call upon the name of the Lord, he'd save me. Amen. I mean, just as simple as that. If I just call on the Lord, he would save me. Now, I didn't really get the assurance for a little while. I mean, you got to get in this book if you want to get some assurance. And you get in this book and you get to reading it, and God will give you some assurance. I'm one of these preachers that believes that you can know something. Amen. I believe you can know that you're saved. That's reading in the book of 1 John. He's writing there to the believers. And that little book of 1 John is to the believers. And you read it sometime, just see how many I knows are in there. And brother, you come to that fifth chapter in verse 10 and 11. And he said, I write these things unto you that you may know. Amen. Not to have doubts. The reason why people have doubts is because they've never come to where they can know. And I'm getting so far away from my message, it ain't funny. But you know, I'm glad that we can know. And the simple thing is just come. Come as you are. It don't cost you a thing. It don't cost you a thing. If you're away from God, it don't cost you anything. He says, come as you are. So we can see. Then there's something else here. And Brother Ennis, my time is flying. But I'll try to, do like this brother said. He'll just cut off. Amen. but in verse number 20 here also, it says, and he which testifies these things says, surely I come, what? Quickly. You know, we see that in the Bible, do you realize there's the talking about the second coming of the Lord is mentioned over 318 times, either directly or indirectly. Or it's referring to the second coming of our Lord. There's 260 chapters. We know that in the New Testament, and one verse out of every 25 refers to or speaks about the coming of our Lord, the second return of His coming. Boy, I mean, that's something to get you excited about, that Jesus is certainly coming back again. And we know that He's coming again. Whenever He descended, after He was crucified and placed in the barred tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and then on that third day, He arose out of that grave. Whenever He came out of that grave, if I understand it correctly, He just dropped His napkin down that was placed on His face, and he just came out of those grave clothes. But the thing that's really a blessing is how He dropped that napkin down. He didn't wad it up and throw it down. It was just laid down. And you know what that means? That means that He's coming back again. And so we see that with all these things that are coming, He arose out of that grave, and He walked upon this earth for some about 40 days. And we come to the book of Acts, and of course in the book of Acts we find there in the first chapter of the book of Acts in verses 10 and 11, as Jesus begins to ascend up to heaven, and losing all gravity. Can you imagine be standing there seated like you are here today? If I was to start just losing all gravity and going up, up, that's the way Jesus was doing. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to hang around down here a little while. But Jesus was losing all gravity, and He was just going up. And these two men in white apparel, I believe they're the two same men that you find in Revelation chapter number 11, that's going to preach during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. You can believe what you want to. You can be wrong if you want to. But I believe that's the two men in white apparel that we see standing there watching the Lord Jesus go up, and said to that congregation of people that's standing there, "Why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you see going up going to come again in like manner as you see Him go." So He's coming again yonder in the clouds. Amen, preacher. Amen. He's a coming. He's a coming, whether the world believes it or not. Whether the professors over at Wake Forest believe it or not. Over to cemetery of Wake Forest. Some call it a seminary. I call it a cemetery. Amen. Dead professors. You don't need no dead professors. You need some alive. I mean some that will put some excitement into those young students and into those young preachers. You need some excitement. Amen. Boy, the normal churches today won't have a preacher like me that gets excited. I can't help it. I've had one knee replacement, and just a few weeks ago pulled a ligament in the other, and I can't hardly get up and down. But I still get excited.
Amen.
Tell you, I got excited Sunday morning. The Sunday school teacher, he got all wound up and got all excited. And he was talking about the goodness of the Lord. And he went over to Psalms 118 and started at verse number 1. And it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." Amen. And he got saying, "He's good, He's good." And I got to thinking about just how good God was. Amen. Boy, He's looked after me all these years. He's supplied my needs. He's took care of me when I didn't have sense enough to take care of myself. Brother, He's provided for me in so many ways. I live in a good house. I was raised in the house. You could look through the cracks in the floor, see the chickens walking up under there, and thank God for those chickens. We had chicken every Sunday for dinner. See the snow blow in through the old weatherboard. But you know I live in a good house. Amen. All you got to do is flip a little switch and heat comes on. Cooling comes on. flip a switch, lights. We didn't have lights when I was growing up. I lived out in the country. This fellow said he lived in the country. I lived in the country. People today got all these lights and have to read. We had a lamp. You ever try to read by a lamp? That's reading. We didn't learn nothing. Amen. We couldn't see how to read. Amen. Y'all look at me like you think I'm crazy. Amen. That's all right. I'll be through here in a minute. But anyway, we can see. You know, Jesus is coming. Amen. He's coming. He's coming. You need to be ready for his coming. He's coming. And brother, he's coming suddenly. He's not going to send a representative or anything, but he's coming. He says, surely I come quickly. And brother, he's coming to receive unto himself. I like what Paul said in the book of Thessalonians. You know, I'm sure that they were coming to Paul and saying, Paul, our loved ones are dying, and we haven't taken them out here and placed them in the sod. And but Paul said, hey, there in the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, begin there, what, long about verse, well, I have to turn to see, but he says, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. I like verse number 18. He says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Yes. Brother, it starts at verse number 13. Yes. It wouldn't come to me. And I don't have it wrote down. But I do a lot of my preaching without any notes. Amen. After you've been preaching 57, 58 years, some of it, you remember a little bit of what you've read about. And my wife was telling me coming on over this morning, she's starting through the Bible the second time this year. Third time. All right, man, I'm behind. But she's starting through it the third time this year, starting in the book of Genesis, as we was riding on over here this morning. And brother, what a blessing it is. You know, after a while, some of that begins to sink in, and you begin to get, you know, I believe that we need to read the Bible. I believe that's the reason he said, study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God, that needest not to be ashamed, but rightly what? Dividing the word of truth. Brother Ennis, I'm glad you got the word of truth. I'm glad you got the old King James 1611. Amen. I tell you, I got some other Bibles that people's given me through the years. In my study, I've got Bibles that Jehovah Witness. I got a Jehovah Witness Bible. Somebody give it to me, and I stuck it in my. I got a Catholic Bible. Well, I wouldn't call it the Bible. I wouldn't call that thing the Jehovah Witnesses use a Bible either. But I got them, amen. But I don't read from anything. I don't study from anything. Sometimes I'll just want to compare a scripture with some of these things, you know, just to see what they are getting. But anyway, time's running out. But notice the last thing there in verse number 20. It says here, Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I believe this is the last prayer. I believe that's the last prayer, is even so, come, Lord Jesus. You know, there's going to come a day whenever the last invitation is given. Your pastor, you as a pastor, you as a preacher, evangelist, missionary, the day is going to come whenever you're going to stand and you're going to give the last invitation. You're going to give that last invitation. Won't be no more. You say, oh, but preacher, won't they give a second chance? Mm-mm. Not even after the rapture takes place. That crowd will be turned over to a reprobate mind. They're already headed that way. And a lot of things are heading up so that the coming of the Lord, the things that are said in this Bible will take place just as it said. And the world's going to be set up for that. Yep. Somebody told me Sunday, said, Obama had us in the commode and trying to get Hillary to come along and flush it. Don't y'all look at me like that. I'm not running for no political office. I'm just telling you what somebody told me. You know, kind of like Will Rogers said, all he knew was what he read in the paper. Sometimes all I know is what somebody tells me. Amen. The last invitation is going to be given. That last promise is going to be fulfilled. And then the last prayer is going to be prayed. I trust that whenever you go in your pulpit, you'll realize it may be the last opportunity that you get to preach.
That's right.
It may be the last time you get to witness to that old sinner down the street that drops in occasionally. It may be the last privilege you have to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to take advantage of that, realizing the coming of the Lord is near at hand.